I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is taking flight as we look at issues plaguing Boeing. This Wednesday, the Associated Press reported that the Federal Aviation Administration opened an investigation after cabin pressure issues on a Delta Airlines flight leaving Salt Lake City left some passengers with bleeding eardrums and noses. It was a five-year-old Boeing 737-900ER aircraft. We'll discuss other safety issues related to Boeing planes later in the episode, but for now we'll pivot to another issue. Last week it was announced that workers at Boeing would go on strike after 30,000 assembly employees rejected a proposed contract. Now their work has stopped, marking the first strike at Boeing since 2008. That one lasted more than 8 weeks. It's anyone's guess how long this strike will last. The longer work isn't happening, the more it will cost the aerospace manufacturer. According to a report by CNN, if the strike goes on for more than a week, it could cost the company serious amounts of money. And that's on top of the $33 billion it's lost to manufacturing and safety issues since 2019. In 2008, that two-month strike ended up costing Boeing $1.2 billion in net income. As things sit today, it's not looking like a swift conclusion to the strike is in the cards. Negotiations between the union, Boeing, and federal mediators haven't produced much. Now that we've covered what Boeing stands to lose, let's take a look at why the workers are striking. The initial offer that was struck down by 96% of union members was a four-year deal that included raises of at least 25% over the life of the deal, an immediate 11% pay hike, cost of living increases, increased contributions to 401k accounts, and lower health insurance premiums. While Boeing and union leadership said it was the best contract the union has ever been offered, the overwhelming majority of members disagreed, and they initiated the strike. Aviation industry consultant Mike McCarron discussed why union members walked out with Odyssey.
Do we know what is the impact? I mean, even just a couple of days, how does that throw things off?
Not too much of in the first week, but after that, things start backing up as far as production schedules, supply lines, and other things. The airlines kind of saw this coming, so they got most of their orders in and got the aircraft delivered they wanted. But if it lasts more than a week or two, you're going to start seeing some changes down the line that could impact aircraft delivery for the airlines around the world.
So is it really that they're that far apart? I mean, it sounds like for some people that the request for an increase wages for 25% over a period of 4 years. I mean, that's what the proposed contract would have done, and that was rejected.
Right. They wanted more than that because they have not had an increase for quite some time. And another thing they're really interested in doing is getting more production back in the Seattle area. Boeing has set up a plant in South Carolina, which is a non-union plant.
So how has Boeing leadership responded to this work stoppage so far?
Right now, they haven't said much. They don't have much strength as far as leverage right now because of these problems they've had over the years with some of the aircraft, and they have a new CEO right now. So they may want to be a little more eager to get back to the table, and that's what the union wants to do too, but it remains to be seen how that's going to play out.
And it's been a tough year for Boeing, right? I mean, every time you turn around, another door is blowing off, and people kind of, then the stock went down.
Right. They've had their name in their news a lot lately, and not for good reasons. So they're trying to put a positive spin on everything they can right now, and having the bulk of their workforce in the Seattle area go out on strike is not helping them at all.
So you said that in the early days, the impact on the assembly line and the production won't be too much, but after a week, that's when you start to see things back up.
Well, there's supply issues. There's orders that you got to reschedule now. And when they put these aircraft in the assembly line, everything's booked pretty tightly as far as when one's going to start and next is going to start after that and finish. So it just pushes everything further down the line. And airlines like stability, and they want to know when they're getting the new aircraft or getting aircraft in and out of maintenance, which is another issue because Boeing does will do long-term maintenance for both the military and commercial aircraft. And they can't plan these things in advance. It puts them kind of on edge too, as far as what their long-term plans for scheduling for the holidays, for next summer. All these things can become interrelated all of a sudden.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boeing's problems go far beyond the picket line. In fact, they even go into space. Boeing's Starliner space shuttle took off after weeks of delays this June. Once it finally did take flight and dock at the International Space Station, its return to Earth with astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams was once again delayed. Williams and Wilmore decided not to use the shuttle to return to Earth. They explained that they found some things that they just couldn't get comfortable with. As a result, the astronauts are now not expected to return to Earth until 2025, and then it will be aboard a SpaceX Dragon craft. The Boeing Starliner returned home empty on September 7th. To share more on how Wilmore and Williams got stranded in space, Jillian Scudder, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Oberlin College, joined Odyssey.
Anyway, let's talk about what's going on with this Starliner.
Yes, it is not going according to plan. So the astronauts were supposed to be up in the ISS for 8 days, and they will now be up there for 8 months, which is a little bit of an extension by pretty much any set of accounting.
What is the problem? Why did that happen?
Well, so the capsule itself had some issues that they weren't able to figure out what the problem was. And when your spacecraft, which functionally has one job, which is to keep your astronauts safe, starts not doing that so well, everybody gets extremely suspicious. And so to keep the astronauts safe, because we couldn't figure out what was wrong with the capsule, we sent the capsule home empty, and we're keeping the astronauts on the ISS where we know that they will be housed comfortably and not in any danger.
But as it turned out, could we have sent them home, or could they have sent them home?
Unclear. So the capsule did land back on Earth intact, but intact is a different story from internally safe, because some of the issues seem to be that it was like leaking air, and that's never a good thing. So we never want that.
The issues NASA has had with Boeing's Starliner mission could throw a wrench into the space agency's overall plans with the company, as it looks to eventually use privatized spaceflight to get back to the moon this decade. With what some have called an unsuccessful mission, federal investigations, and strikes, it seems like Boeing's relationship with NASA could soon be up in the air. Before Starliner returned to Earth, Clara Moskowitz, senior editor at Scientific American covering space and physics, joined Odyssey to discuss this issue.
Is it fair to say this is a very embarrassing day for Boeing?
I think it is fair to say that. Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody knows that space flight is risky. This was a brand new system, and it was a test flight. And so it's not really considered a failure for anomalies like this to pop up during a test flight. You know, that is at least the party line, and it is true. This flight was meant to find out how the spacecraft worked and whether there was any issues, and they did find that out. And everybody is safe. It's going to be fine. But certainly this is not how Boeing wanted things to play out.
Can you explain the process that's taking place today?
Right. So they've had the Starliner at the space station for a few months now because they wanted to run every test they possibly could while it was up there to figure out exactly what went wrong with these thrusters and with the systems on board the spacecraft. And at this point, they've run all the tests they can run up in space, and they want to bring it down to the ground to investigate. So that's what they're doing. You know, Boeing thought that the spacecraft was safe and could bring the crew back itself, but NASA overruled that and said, no, we want to play it safe. We are not sure we fully understand what's going on with this Starliner. We want to send the astronauts home in February on a SpaceX ship instead.
So these thrusters are used to orient the spacecraft and move it around in space where, you know, wings and things like that don't work. So if one of them or more of them were malfunctioning, that could be very serious.
Right, exactly. These are little jets that fire to push the spacecraft in different directions. And that's really critical for getting it on the exact right orbit that it needs to be to come home safely. You know, it needs to enter Earth's atmosphere at a very specific angle and speed and position. And you need these jets, these thrusters, to make sure that that happens. So if you're not exactly sure how the thrusters are going to perform, then you can't be exactly sure you're going to get it in the position it needs to be to come home safely.
So when they come home, where will they land and why?
So the Starliner is going to land in White Sands, New Mexico, in the desert, using parachutes to come down softly and touch down. So that is different from how the SpaceX Dragon, for instance, comes down. That one lands on water. It's called a splashdown. This one has been designed to land on land.
So what does this mean, do you think, to the relation between NASA and legacy contractors like Boeing and the newer people in the game like SpaceX?
Yeah, I think you're going to continue to see some tension between the different companies that are vying for these NASA contracts. Certainly at this point, SpaceX has an upper hand in proving reliable and dependent. You know, SpaceX and Boeing both originally won contracts from NASA to develop a spaceship that could carry astronauts to and from the space station. And SpaceX obviously got theirs working much quicker, and they've been running it for years, and that's going well. You know, Boeing was hoping to join the game now, and it's going to be delayed. It's already been delayed. It's going to be delayed further. But NASA and Boeing still say they're both completely committed to carrying this through, figuring out what's wrong with the spacecraft and fixing anything that needs to be fixed so that it can become a dependable mode of transportation, because NASA doesn't want to just depend on SpaceX. You know, they really need to have at least two different kinds of vehicles that can do this job to leave them flexible and able to do the missions they want to do. So I do believe we'll see Starliner take up crew again, but the big question is when. What is NASA going to require from Boeing to be assured that the Starliner is ready?
The long range, NASA doesn't want to stop at orbital missions. Obviously, they want to get back to the moon. They want to eventually get to Mars. How big a setback is this in those long range plans?
Right. That's a very good point, because Boeing is very much involved in the Artemis program, which is NASA's program to send astronauts back to the moon. And NASA's going to want to be sure that they understand Starliner and everything that's happening with that before they have Boeing do anything that's critical for the Artemis missions. So, you know, I think that all of these problems do affect NASA's long-term future. NASA has big plans. They want to send people next year to orbit the moon. And then after that, they want to send people to land on the moon again, to land on a polar region, which we've never done before. And eventually, NASA wants to build a space station around the moon that can serve as this sort of outpost for further exploration.
Recent years have not brought positive headlines for Boeing. In January, a door panel on board an Alaska Airlines flight blew off while the plane was thousands of feet above the ground. And that's not the only scary headline related to Boeing planes. A United Airlines 737 MAX reported the flight controls jammed as the plane landed in Newark. The FAA flagged issues with de-icing equipment on 737 MAX and 787 Dreamliner planes, prompting concerns that the engines could lose thrust. And a 787 Dreamliner flight from Australia to New Zealand plunged mid-flight. These episodes have resulted in congressional hearings, FAA investigations, and eventually all Boeing 37 MAX planes being grounded. Since then, countless whistleblowers came forward. They discussed concerns with the manufacturing process at Boeing. Boeing pleaded guilty in a criminal case brought against the airline manufacturer for two deadly crashes involving its 737 MAX jetliners. The Justice Department said Boeing would pay a fine of more than $487 million, as well as investing $455 million in safety and compliance programs. As you can tell, it hasn't been a great stretch of runway for the company. So, what's gone wrong at Boeing? Many have pointed to outsourcing as a possible reason behind the company's troubles. Duke Kunshan University publication, The Lily Pad, noted that Boeing's problems seem to have started with massive outsourcing to save money. Rather than develop aircraft in-house and outsourcing parts as it had previously, beginning in the 2000s, around 70% of the design, engineering, and manufacturing of the 737 was outsourced to more than 50 strategic partners. Forbes reported this spring that Boeing's problem is that the engineers had essentially been squeezed out, along with the company's historic commitment to engineering excellence. It said these have been replaced by a Jack Welch-style obsession with return on net assets. Can Boeing change directions? Paul Aramenko, head of Airbus, thinks it can. He offered some advice in Fortune magazine. Aramenko said Boeing has to put real airplane geeks at the helm, give employees a direct stake in the company's success, and make bold, ambitious bets on the future. If the company can do that, he said Boeing might just regain its magic. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.